Hare Krishna. So very happy to be along with you so that I can study Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is a very wonderful book. Not only a wonderful book, the most important book. Srila Prabhupada used to say Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is the law book of ISKCON. Of course, ISKCON has another law book which is so complicated to understand. I don't know how many of you read that law book. I read that law book and read this law book also, but I found comfortable with this. So you have two law books in ISKCON. But somehow they are not printed Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the law book of ISKCON. They are not printed that. But Prabhupada told this is the law book. But they have made another law book, the GBC, the Bureau and all. But they have printed the law book of ISKCON, which is much more complicated. So if you want to read that, you can read that. What I can do about it? It goes on changing, that law. But this law never changes. It's been established time of eternity, and Rupa Goswami has presented it in with mixing with some nice, wonderful fragrance in it. So that makes it rasa. The laws of humanity were described in the scriptures itself. The Vedas, they talk about the laws of human life. Now why this Bhakti Rasamrita has got some speciality? Because the law of human life is bhakti. That is the only nature, that is the only characteristic of a soul is bhakti. Nothing else other than bhakti, none other thing other than bhakti can be called as a characteristic or the nature of soul. Though the Vedas have described it, though the Puranas have described it, until unless this book arrived with the hands of Rupa Goswami, that bhakti was not considered a rasa. Only after Rupa Goswami, bhakti has been considered, not only just as considered, has been defined as rasa. Because the word rasa is not a word found within the circles of Vedanta. There's certain terminology which is more prominent in different kind of scriptures. Like you say kapha pitta vata. These things are where in Ayurveda, isn't it? The word rasa is not found in Vedanta. It is not a Vedantic word till Rupa Goswami came. The word rasa is mostly a sahitya. Sahitya Shastras deal with the subject. The subject of rasa is more explained in Sahitya Shastras. Sahitya Shastras means literature, like poetics, and you have drama, the dance, singing. So these scriptures, they're entirely based on rasa. So the moment people used to hear this word rasa, Vedantis, they would say, get it, you don't want it. But Rupa Goswami is the first person who came out boldly and then told, bhakti is a rasa, not a rasa, the only rasa. So the speciality of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is that what even Vedas dare not tell directly, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu speaks it very directly. Rupa Goswami did it. And the history of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Rupa Goswami's meeting. That is why I just kept this verse in front of you. We know Rupa Goswami along with his brother Anupam or Sri Vallabha, both of them met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Prayag. In Prayag, Dashashwamedha Ghat. That most of you know the story about it. When they came, the three rivers are joining in Prayag, but no, none other time in the history it has happened that there was a flood in Prayag. But when Rupa Goswami went along with Anupam to meet Sri Chaitanya, at the time he saw there was a flood. But the flood of the was of what? The love of God. Krishna Prema Bada. So that was the flood. The whole of Prayag was flooded with Krishna Prema. Chaitanya was dancing and chanting and thousands of devotees, and Krishna Prema Rasa was flowing, was flooded. Rupa and Anupam did not meet Sri Chaitanya directly. They were a little bit away, because Rupa Goswami knew if I go near him, immediately Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will embrace me. And if he embraces me, then everybody will think I am a great devotee. So he did not want to show to people that I am a great devotee. So that is why Sri Chaitanya was dancing and Rupa Goswami met him later. And then first time Rupa Goswami paid obeisances to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, first time he spoke these words. What is that? Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Guru Tvishe Nama. Then there is meeting with Sri Vallabhacharya, and there is meeting with the Raghupati Upadhyaya, and essence of all the teachings which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would give to Rupa Goswami was already spoken by Raghupati Upadhyaya to Rupa Goswami and Vallabhacharya in front of Sri Chaitanya. Then the whole pastime in Adilagram happens, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he calls Rupa Goswami personally. He says, there's too much of crowd here, because philosophy has to be discussed in Ekanta, in alone. Holy name in public, but philosophy alone. That is the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya. It is not that to discuss philosophy in public and holy name alone. It's exactly the opposite. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he called Loka Bida Bhaya Prabhu Dashashame Deyana. So because of lot of Bida, Bida means crowd. Rupa Goswami Siksha Kare Shakti Sancharila. Word Shakti Sancharila is the most important here. Shakti means, strength, power. Sancharila means infusing the heart of Rupa Goswami with strength. So what is the power which Sri Chaitanya gave to Rupa Goswami? What kind of strength? What was the Shakti was just given? The Shakti is to hear and understand what Chaitanya is going to speak. Chaitanya empowered these three, Sanatana Goswami, to inquire about Krishna consciousness, and to Ramananda Rai to speak about Krishna consciousness, Rupa Goswami to understand about Krishna consciousness, to hear Krishna Katha, hear about Krishna consciousness. Within Krishna consciousness, actually there are only three activities. Shocharam, Prachakam, Shotrim. Vaktaram prachakam shotrim. Vaktaram means to speak. And prachakam means one who asks, inquires. Shotri means to hear. Yat pada sailam yatha. Like in the 10th canto, you have this verse where, like Ganga, it flows in the three worlds. Not only it flows in the three worlds, if you take the charanamrita, you can drink it, you can put it on your head, or you can do both. So by doing all the three activities, you'll become purified. In the same way, one who inquires, one who hears about Krishna, one who speaks about Krishna, all of them become purified. Parikshit Maharaj asked about Krishna in the 10th canto, Sukadeva Goswami answered this saying that, I am so fortunate, I am so blessed because you have inquired. A person who inquires about Krishna also gets mercy. Person who hears about Krishna also gets mercy. But a person who speaks about Krishna gets more mercy. And Sukadeva Goswami says, I congratulate you, I thank you very much. Oh, Parikshit Maharaj, because you have given the opportunity for me to speak and I become qualified to get more mercy. So in this way, he thanks Parikshit Maharaj. Why? Because when you are hearing, only ears are engaged. When you are asking, your ears are also engaged, your mind is also engaged. Isn't it? But when you are speaking, everything is engaged. All are engaged. So complete consciousness is engaged when you are speaking about Krishna consciousness. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave these three shaktis to these three devotees of Sri Chaitanya. Now what did he explain? What did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explain? Rupa Goswami did not inquire anything from Sri Chaitanya. These are the three things which are explained. Krishna tattva, bhakti tattva, rasa tattva, pranta. Sabhasikhaila Prabhu Bhagavata Siddhanta. But this is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The entire Bhagavad Gita is in this particular verse. Three things were spoken: Krishna Tattva, the truth about Krishna, Bhakti Tattva, the nature of devotion, pure devotional service, and Rasa Tattva, the Tattva about Rasa. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a person who established it in the hearts of Rupa Goswami that Bhakti is Rasa. See, Bhakti and Rasa were never put together before Sri Chaitanya came. That is why what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to us is something very unique. Earlier Acharyas came, many people came and they gave Bhakti, not the Bhakti Rasa. So, Krishna Tattva, Bhakti Tattva, Rasa Tattva, Pranta. Pranta means to the extremities, to the extent what you can think of, to the extent what is perceived, what is there. That is called Pranta. Sabha Sikhaila Prabhu. All the things were explained by Sri Chaitanya. And how did he explain? Based on what? Bhagavata Siddhanta. You should always remember that. Based on Bhagavata Siddhanta. So now we know the entire story that how things have happened. Whatever Ramananda Pashayata Siddhanta Sunila Rupa Kripa Karithata Sabha Sancharila. Now, whatever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard from Ramananda Rai, the same thing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to Rupa Goswami. And just by speaking to Rupa Goswami, I don't think everybody can understand. Rupa Goswami is infused with the strength by Sri Chaitanya personally so that he can understand. And what did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speak, hear from Ramananda Rai? He heard the Prayojana Tattva, Prayojana Jnana, the topmost thing, the glory of Srimati Radharani. How even Krishna would fall at the feet of Radharani. That is what was heard by Sri Chaitanya from Ramananda Rai. Actually, he made him speak. And the same thing is spoken to Rupa Goswami. Why? Because Krishna falling at the feet of Radharani cannot be conceived also, cannot be even appreciated nor not realized by the conditioned souls. Now, how that highest rasa can be given to the conditioned souls? That is done by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through Rupa Goswami. So the sadhana bhakti, what we are doing now, according to Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, the book we are learning, though it seems to be certain book things like principles like okay, chanting, reading and all these things, but it contains the highest of all the rasa, highest the prema that is there in this. So that is why this verse is spoken here. Ramananda Pashai Yatha Siddhanta Sunila. Whatever was been heard, Rupa Kripa Karitata Sabha Sancharila. Now, Sri Rupa Hrudaya Prabhu Shakti Sancharila Sarvatattva Nirupane Pravina Karila. By Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by infusing the heart of Rupa Goswami, Hrudaya Prabhu Shakti Sancharila Sarvatattva Nirupane. All the tattvas, all the siddhantas, Nirupane. Pravina Karila. Pravina Karila means what? Made him very experienced. Very experienced and expert. See, expertise is one thing, experience is one thing. Pravina means not only just expert, it is also experienced. Now, this how Rupa Goswami's story goes. We are not into how Rupa Goswami and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussed. But Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu was specifically written by Rupa Goswami for one particular purpose, that is, one thing because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed him. Now that thing we'll discuss when we come to the paper. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's inspiration only he wrote. Now we always chant the pranam mantra of Rupa Goswami. So I just want to know how many of you know the meaning of pranam mantra of Rupa Goswami. Of course, what is the pranam mantra of Rupa Goswami? Very good. Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Radati Swa. Sometimes this laptop gets mad. Radati Swa Padantikam. Okay, what is the meaning of it? Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam. So, what is the most dear thing in the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam. He not only understood it, Rupa Goswami, what did he do? Sthapitam yena bhutale. He established in the entire world. Sthapitam yena bhutale. And then Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham. Onto such Rupa Goswami, I pray. What do I pray? When is he going to give me nearness to his lotus feet? Isn't it? That is the meaning of this thing. Now, what is the heart of Sri Chaitanya? Which Rupa Goswami knew. What is that thing which he knew? What is the heart of Sri Chaitanya which Rupa Goswami came to know? Krishna Prema Pradayate. What is that? Yes, what is that? Yes, for that you need to go to Jagannath Puri. Jagannath Puri, once Rupa Goswami was along with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doing so many pastimes. And there one day after Ratyatra, one day during Ratyatra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking some verse which Rupa Goswami and Sarup Damodar only could understand. So that verse which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking was something like very strange. They were not knowing like what is this going on. They were thinking, Rupa Goswami and all others were completely surprised what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is chanting. This verse which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting was from some materialistic literature about some boy and girl talking with each other. One girl says to a boy, you see, you are the person who took away my heart in my youth. All these kinds of things. And now I want the same, now you are the same person, I am the same person. Now let us go onto the bank of river, sit under one tree. And then all these things were, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just talking this verse. So now at that time, what happened is, Rupa Goswami heard this and he came. He came and just wrote one verse and kept it. Here is it. Page. I will going up or down. Page. Up. I want to get to that verse proper. It's a very important Prasanga in Chaitanya Charitamrita that everybody has to know. That is why I am just showing you that verse. Where did it go? Yes, this one. This is the verse. Yaha kaumaraha sayeva hivaras taeva chitra kshiptas te chonmilita malati saurabhya Prodba kadamba nila sa chaivam chitata pitatra surata vyapara lila vidhau reva roda siveta sitarutare chetas samutkantate. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was singing this verse. That very personality, that very person who stole my heart during my youth is now again my master. These are the same moonlit nights, the month of Chaitra. The same fragments of Malati flowers is there. And the same sweet breeze are flowing from the Kadamba forest. In our intimate relationship, I am also the same lover. Yet still my mind is not happy. I am very eager to go back to the place on the bank of Reva under the Vetasi tree. That is my desire. In Ratyatra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is chanting this verse. And this verse is from a very famous book at that time, which is a romance novel kind of thing. Sanskrit romance novel. And everybody is completely confused. What is this going on? And except Sarup Damodar, and nobody could knew. Now, Rupa Goswami, when he went, he wrote this verse. Priyasyoyam Krishna Sahachari Kurukshetra Militas Tataham Sarada Taditam Ubhayo Sangamasukam Tatapyantakkelan Maduramurali Panchamajushe Manome Kalindi Pulinavipanya Sprihyati. Now, understanding the mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami, he wrote this verse. This verse is actually talking about Radharani speaking to Krishna. That is what is going in the heart of Sri Chaitanya, but he was speaking something else outside. So, my dear friend, now I have met my very old and dear friend Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Radharani speaking. I am the same Radharani, and now we are meeting together. It is very pleasant, but I would still like to go back to the bank of Yamuna beneath the trees of the forest. I wish to hear the vibration of his flute playing the fifth note within the forest of Vrindavan. Now, Tarapatre Shlokaliki Chalite Radhi Rakhila. What did he do? He written a Talapatra, Rupa Goswami, and put it in the on the top of the hut. Samudrasthana Karivari Rupa Goswami Gela, and he went to take bath in the ocean. And by the time Sri Chaitanya came, Hena Kale Prabhu Aila Tanaran Milite, by the time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to meet Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami stayed with Haridas Thakur in Siddha Bakur. Chale Shloka Dekhi Prabhu Lagila Padite, and he saw what is something is gone on the hut. So let me see what is written there. He took that verse, started reading. Shloka padi prabhu suke preman prema vishta hoila. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read this verse, he became very much into ecstasy. Hena kale Rupa Goswami sthana kari aila. At that time Rupa Goswami came. After taking bath in the ocean, he came. You know what happened? Prabhu dekhi dandavata prangane padila. He saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he paid obeisances. Prabhu tanara chapada pamari khaite lagila. He just slapped with love. He just slapped. And then he said, saying, Guda mora hrudaya tumi janile kemone. My heart, which is very much interior of the heart, the internal feelings within my heart, tumi janile kemone. How did you know? Yetaka hi rupa kaila dirgalingane. By saying this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him. Then, next to him, he was there. Swarup Damodar was there. Sei shlokalana prabhu swarupa dikhaila. He gave it to Swarup Damodar, and then swarupa pariksha lage tanara puchila. Then, after Swarup Damodar read that verse, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Swarup Damodar, morantara varta rupa janila ke mane? How did Rupa Goswami know my heart? Swarupa kare jani kripa kariya chapane. I know that you already showed mercy. Until you show mercy, how can anybody know is your heart? Then he says, Purve, before what happened? Anyathai artha kare nahi hai jana. Nobody can understand this. This kind of knowledge cannot be revealed until you have shown mercy. Tumi purve kripa kaili kare anuman. I understood that you already shown mercy to him before. When did you show mercy? Prabhu kahe yaha amaye prayag milila. So we have met in prayag at that time. Yoga patra jani yaha aya mora kripa haila. I saw that he was a yoga patra, yogya. Yogya means he is very much competent. So what did I do? I showed mercy unto him. So then he goes further. Tabe shakti sanchari ami karino upadesh. At the time I did shakti sanchar unto him and I gave instruction to him. Tumiha kahiyo ina rasera vishesh. Rasera vishesh. Now you also should give him instructions. In particular, instruct him about the transcendental rasera vishesh. So it is described that Bhakti Samana Sindhu instructions were originally written by Sri Chaitanya. But there was some flavor added by who? Swarup Damodar. So Rasera Vishesh. That came in the form of Vidagdha Madhav. That we'll talk about it later. Now, Palena Parakaranam Manumiyate. Everybody can understand the nature of the source by its result. Now, going further. Very interesting thing has come. I want to speak. Chaturmasa happened and all of the people from Gaudadesha, they went back. Rupa Goswami Mahaprabhu Charana Raila. Rupa Goswami stayed back. You know, from Bengal every year, all the people from Bengal used to come to take part in Ratyatra. And Chaturmasa got over and what happened? They all left. But Rupa Goswami stayed back. Ekadina. Very important words. Ekadina Rupa Karena Nataka Likhina. One day Rupa Goswami was writing his Nataka with the Madhav. Achambite Mahaprabhu Haila Gaman. All of a sudden Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. Samarambe Dui Uthi Dandavata Haila. Two people means all Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami, they stood up and immediately Dandavat. Dui Alingana Prabhu Asane Vasila. both of them were embraced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Buddha sat down along with Sri Chaitanya. Kya pankti likhaya? Bole ek patra nila. Hey, Prabhu, say, what are you writing? Give one piece of paper. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Aksharaji ki Prabhu Ramana Suki Haila. He saw the handwriting of Rupa Goswami and he was so happy. Sri Rupa Akshara Yena Mukha Muktera Pankti. Rupa Goswami's handwriting was like pearls, string of pearls. Pritahana Karana Prabhu Akshara Stuti. Being so much impressed by this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he started glorifying Rupa Goswami's handwriting. Then, Sei Patre Prabhu Eka Shloka Ehi Dekhila. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw this patra and one shloka he read. Padite Shloka Premavishta Hoila. Just by reading these words, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went into ecstasy. You are Premavishta Hoila. Now, beautiful verse. What is that verse? Tunde Tanda Viniratim Mitanute Tundavali Labdhaye Karna Krodha Kadambini Ghatayate Karnar Budhebhyas Priham Cheta Prangana Sanginim Vijayate Sarvendriyanam Kritim No Jane Janita Ki Abdiram Brite Krishneti Varnadvai. So this was the verse. Switch. In this verse, what is there in the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was known by Rupa Goswami. And what is known by Rupa Goswami, sthapitam yena bhutale, to establish around the world, he transformed the heart which was there within the heart of, he transformed the thing which is there within the heart of Chaitanya, which Rupa Goswami got it. He transformed it in the form of the holy name. So that is how this name comes, holy name comes. Now, as soon as this holy name was, glories of the holy name were heard, I want to have more and more tongues when he chant the names of the Lord. I want to have more and more ears, crores and crores of ears. When the holy name enters my heart, Cheta Prangana Sangivini Vijayate, what happens? Vijayate, it conquers. Sarvendriyanam Kritim. All the indriyas, all the senses are conquered. They become completely stunned. I feel that I am there and holy name is there, nothing else is there. They're the only two things which I experience. Shloka suni haridasa hoila ullasi nachi chale gira shokar artha prashamsi. Haridasa Thakur started dancing in ecstasy. And then while dancing, he started glorifying the holy name. And how did he glorify? Krishna namera mahina shastra sadhu mukhe jani. Krishna's mahima, the glories of the holy name, I heard it before. I heard. From Shastras I have heard. I have heard it from different sadhus. But Namera Madhuri Eche Kahanai Suni. This kind of Madhuri, the Madhuri of the holy name, I have never heard it. Kahanai Suni means never. So Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu is the expansion of this particular prasanga which has happened. You should understand that. So that is why what Veda has not directly told, this Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu talks about. Rupa Goswami spoke in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. How? By connecting bhakti and rasa, putting these two words together. Otherwise, before Rupa Goswami, to put bhakti and rasa in front of scholarly circles, it is like, what is this? It is like people used to say, what kind of thing you have done? Such a pure thing, bhakti, and you put rasa in it. You're putting the word rasa next to it. Because for them, rasa means only mundane rasa. Bhakti rasa was not known. So, madhuri means namera rasa, eche kahine suni. The word rasa, Prabhupada also explains in many, many places. There is no equivalent English word for rasa. There is only mellow, which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur has mentioned. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was first person to say is mellow. But there is no English equivalent for this rasa. Of course, there are so many people have spoken so much about rasa and all. But it is the first time bhakti and rasa were put together by Rupa Goswami. Okay? Now we will go into the subject matter as it is. So you can put up the projector. It may confuse you, it may distract you. So, I am actually confused now how to take and what to do. Because I have never taught Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the first time I am teaching. Whenever VHE people call, they call me for Bhagavad Gita. So once you are known for teaching one subject, they don't give you another subject. Because they feel that you don't know anything else other than this. That is the problem in being expert. Suppose you are expert in mridang. So whenever you go to a program, they will only ask you to play mridang. They will not ask you to speak Bharat. Speak Bharat. So one problem in being expert. So somehow I have been known to teach Bhagavad Gita, but whenever they think about anybody, they think of, okay, he teaches Bhagavad Gita. So they never expected me to speak any other thing. So I have never spoken on Bhakti Rasa Samrita. It's the first time I'm doing. So I consider that I'm experimenting on you. So I'm very sorry that you became the object of my experiment. Try to do some justice, because when you do experiment, you put more effort. When you become expert, you don't put any effort, isn't it? When you put more effort, that is more bhakti actually. That is why when you're in the learning stages of Krishna consciousness, it's actually more bhakti than you become expert. So that is why I found when you asked, I did not get much time to really prepare. I just yesterday spent about 5-6 hours of time to see what I can teach to all of you. But I am very happy that you already done Bhakti Rasa Samrita Sindhu. So this experiment is a good thing though. You anyway you already done. So even if something is missing, something is lacking, it is okay. Already done, no problem. It is just like a cosmetic thing, what we are doing now. So Bhakti Rasa Samrita Sindhu, actually Prabhupada wanted to present it entirely like he presented Bhagavatam. He wanted to give word-to-word meaning. He wanted to give the Sanskrit Devanagari transliteration, word-to-word meaning, and the translation and the purport, like he did for Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, like Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he started that work also. It is not that he did not start, he did it also. He started few verses he did also. Somehow those tapes are not available, original Prabhupada tapes are not available. I don't know where exactly those things are. I tried to search out. Many years back, somewhere in Mayapur, I got a copy of Prabhupada's original work of word-to-word translation, this thing. But I don't know if you are, some of you are computer experts and something like who are into this kind of thing, you can make out where it is. So that means Prabhupada actually wanted this thing to happen. That is, have a book where you have all the 2000 odd verses, 2100 odd verses are there in the entire Bhakti Rasa Samrita Sindhu. That he wanted to give a thing with word to word meaning also. So, inspired by that, this book has come out, that is known as Bhakti Rasa Samrita Sindhu by Rupa Goswami by Bhanu Maharaj. So, I'll try to speak from this. On Bhakti Rasa Samrita Sindhu, there are more than 5 commentaries. But 3 are authentic. The other 2-3 commentaries were given to criticize Bhakti Rasa Samrita Sindhu, not to explain Bhakti Rasa Samrita Sindhu. So that is why we'll restrict the 3 main commentaries. One is by Srila Jiva Goswami, other is by Srila Vishwanathji Thakur, and that is Mukunda Datta Goswami. The 3 Goswamis, three acharyas, they have written commentaries on Bhakti Rasa Samrita Sindhu. Now, though Sri Vishwanatha Thakur and Mukundath has written commentaries, we'll be basically talking more about Jiva Goswami's commentary, because Jiva Goswami, if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart was known by Rupa Goswami, Rupa Goswami's heart was known by Jiva Goswami. To such an extent, Jiva Goswami, he writes in his commentary that sometimes I have changed the words of what Rupa Goswami has written. So don't think it is something wrong which I have done, because I have the right to do that, because Rupa Goswami chose me as the editor. Wherever I found that this word will be better to express a particular thing, I used it. And there is nothing wrong in doing so, because he is not just a commentator of Bhakti Rasa Samrita Sindhu, because he is the editor of the original text. Isn't it? He is the editor of the original text. Nobody can be more near to Rupa Goswami from Jiva Goswami. How do you understand that a person is very near very close to somebody. Chastise, very good. When you get chastising from someone, that is the time you understand that they two are very close. Not that when they love each other, when they respect each other, when they, you know, talk good about each other. It's a very interesting point, isn't it? When you get chastisement from someone, that means he considers you as his own. Even if you chastise, he will not leave. That is why with that confidence he's chastising. Isn't it? Mother chastises a kid, isn't it? He shouts and beats and does so much, isn't it? She knows very well, kitna mari idhar hi rahega. Roega, roega, jayega, but kahin idhar hi, he'll come back only, isn't it? So, in this way, we understand that Jiva Goswami was very dear to Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami personally carved the deities and gave to Jiva Goswami, isn't it? And we know how the pastimes with Jiva and Rupa, and how Rupa Goswami was so much eager to serve Rupa Goswami that if somebody says something is wrong, then he wouldn't, Jiva Goswami would argue with him. When Vallabhacharya came and Rupa Goswami, out of respect, he said, I am writing Bhaktirasamrita, please take this and then please write your comments. He read and gave his comments and so everything is wonderful, but there is one problem. Very famous verse, you know very well. Bhukti mukti spriha yavat pisachi hridivartate tavas bhakti sukasyatra katamabhyudayo bhavati. In that verse, Rupa Goswami says, bhukti and mukti, they are two pisachis. Two pisachis. As long as they are hridivartate, as long as they are in your heart, bhakti sukasyatra, the sukha of bhakti, katamabhyudayo bhavati, how can you experience that? So then, Vallabhacharya told, very nice, Mukti is pisachi. And we are also against mukti, but how can you say mukti is also pisachi? It's not so good, no? Mukti, you have to respect it. Though bhaktas don't want it, but treating it as pisachi, that is not acceptable. Then Rupa Goswami told, as it is, I'll try to make corrections. And he left. Then Jiva Goswami went with Vallabha and he started an argument. And he proved that mukti is a bigger pisachi than bhukti. Because suppose somebody is doing bhukti, enjoying. In pursuit of enjoyment, he may do some seva to Krishna, he may do some sukruti, isn't it? He may come to go in the restaurant or something like that. Yeah, something like that. But if he is in pursuit of mukti, even the most ambrosial nectar of Krishna Prema will be rejected by him. Even if it comes in front of him. Isn't it? Because he wants mukti. He wants liberation from everything. So even the most wonderful thing comes in front of him as Krishna Prema, he will reject that. Like Vairagya or giving up. Renunciation. It's a very strange thing. Once somebody came and told a king, one sannyasi came, the king was glorifying the sannyasi. Sannyasi said, why are you glorifying me? You have renounced everything. You big renunciate. Then the sadhu told the king, you are the biggest renunciate. Then the king went, okay, I am enjoying. Huh? Then the king told, because I have renounced what? Some worldly things, but you have renounced Krishna Prema only. You have renounced bhakti. So that is how mukti is a greater pisachi, because a person renounces mukti, renounces Krishna Prema, isn't it? So in this way, very dangerous. So in this way, we have Rupa Jiva Goswami is very close. Wherever required, we'll try to do something of Vishwanathacharya Thakur. Of course, in 2 days, nothing much can be accomplished, but somehow something can be done. So now, Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, as some papers are given to you, I just try to give only the Sanskrit to you, because Jiva Goswami, when he is writing his commentaries, especially on the Sandarbhas and Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, he has used a very simple Sanskrit. He has not complicated it. And that is the reason I was forced to put just Sanskrit, and it is as good as Hindi only. Even if you know any of the Indian languages, any of the Indian languages. It's too soft. Any of the Indian languages, then it would be easy for you to understand. So, we know that Bhakti-rasamrita-sindhu has got four parts. Not all, it's just a logistic aspect of it, four parts to it, and each part has got different divisions. And these divisions are each part, each side of the ocean are mentioned as waves. So we are going to do the first part, that is the eastern part, that is Purva Bhaga. And now in the Purva Bhaga, there are four lahari. Lahari means waves. That all you know because you already studied, four laharis. These four waves are Samanya Bhakti, Sadhana Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti and Prema Bhakti. Anyhow, the exact way of telling that will come in the words. That is why I put it, so that you'll be conscious, not just saying, okay, Samanya Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, Prema Bhakti and Sadhana Bhakti. In the verses you come, the exact terminologies come, because since Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is actually a Vedanta Grantha. Vedanta, end of Vedanta is Rasa. First time Rupa Goswami has proved, so it is very technical. So it is better to use technical words rather than using our own words. When you want to describe something, you can use your own words. When it comes to definitions, you have to use the same words exactly as it is. When you are giving a class or you are describing something, you can use your own words. When it comes to technical things, you have to be as precise as possible and as much as you have to quote verbatim. That is why I am using this particular thing. It's quite technical. It's not just very simple. That is why I did not give the English part of it. Because when you go for the English, when you get that English and you understand it in your language or something like it, becomes like something different. That is why in certain aspects, it is always good to see the original text. Okay. So Purva Vibhaga means you know very well. Bhagavad Bhakti Veda Nirupaka. Bhagavad Bhakti Veda means the distinctions. Nirupaka. What are they? Sadhana, Bhava, and Prema, Veda, Nirupaka. And another is Samanya Bhakti means in general description. First a general description is given and then the Veda is described. Pratama Lahari Samanya Bhakti. In those four laharis, the Pratama Lahari, the first lahari is what? First wave is what? Samanya Bhakti. Now, why the word Samanya has been used? Samanya, in English you call it general. But actually Samanya means what? Samanya means not just general in the way what you think as general. Samanya means all the three, sadhana, bhava, prema. What is the commonality of all the three? That is called samanya here. Not general description. No. That is why I am using these words. And definitely it is little bit technical. So you need to get that point. For example, you have this famous verse, that is Anyabhilasha Shunyam. That Anyabhilasha Shunyam is a definition for Sadhana Bhakti also, Bhava Bhakti also, Prema Bhakti also. It is not that, it is a separate thing. So Sadhana, Prema, and Bhava, all the three are in that particular thing. Isn't it? And that is why the word Samanya is used. That means, like you have you want to build a building, three-storied building, but you have foundation. Foundation is common for all the three, isn't it? Something like that. So that is what is understood. Now since Rupa Goswami is writing it, that is why he says, Sri Radha Govinda Devau Vijayate. Radha Govinda Devau Vijayate. So his worshipful deity is Radha Govindji. So that is why he says, all glories to Vijayate, all glories to Sri Sri Radha Govinda Devau. Because it is Dvivachana. Now famous verse, first verse is there. Akhil Rasamrita Murtihi Prasmarha Ruchiraddha Taraka Palihi Kalita Shama Lalito Radha Priyan Vidura Jayati. So it's the first verse of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Very interesting verse. You see, the first verse is Mangalacharan. Actually, eight verses are Mangalacharan. First verse is Mangalacharan. And you all know Mangalacharan has got three aspects. What are the three aspects of Mangalacharan? Vastu Nirdesha Ashirvada Namaskar. Why we do Mangalacharan? Vignanash. In Mangalacharan, what are we doing? Guru Vaishnava Bhagavan. We are paying obeisances to Guru Vaishnava Bhagavan. These are the three aspects of Mangalacharan. Why we do? Vignanash. What is the subject of Mangalacharan? Subject. Ashirvada, Namaskara, Vastu Nirdesha. By doing so, what are we doing? Whom are we worshipping? Guru, Vaishnava, and Krishna. So these are the three points that you will get in Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the beginning part only it is there. Okay. So in this Mangalacharan, the first verse is Vastu Nirdeshakatmaka Mangalacharan. Vastu Nirdesha means the subject matter. And what is the subject matter of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu? Krishna, isn't it? But Krishna's name is not there at all. In the first verse, you don't find Krishna's name at all. So Srila Vishwanatha Thakur has mentioned this point that the word Krishna, the word Vidu refers to Krishna. The word Vidu refers to Krishna. Jiva Goswami also established the word Vidu refers to Krishna in this verse. That we'll see how it refers to Krishna. But why Krishna's name is not there? Because that is the nature of Rasa Shastra. Whenever you speak some poetics, nothing should be told direct. Because when you tell something direct, nobody will contemplate. Nobody will imagine. I will not say contemplate. Nobody will imagine. Isn't it? If you have to leave a scope for imagination for a person, you have to say something very, I don't even say indirect. There is no English word for that. The Sanskrit word is Vyanjanavritti. Vyanjanavritti. The first is known as Mukhyavritti, direct meaning. The second one is Lakshanavritti. No, you explain by the symptoms, lakshanas. The third one is inferred meaning, inferred. Vyanjana, the closest English word is inferred, Vyanjanavritti. So, because now Bhakti Rasa, this is Rasa Shastra now. Now we should know, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, when Rupa Goswami wrote, before that only he had written the Sandarbhas. You know the six Sandarbhas of Rupa Goswami? Six plus one. The Karma Samadhar, the Sandarbha is commentary on Bhagavatam. But the six Sandarbhas of Jiva Goswami, what are they? First is Tattva, Paramatma, Krishna, and then Bhakti, Preeti Sandarbha, like that. Six Sandarbhas are there. So the six Sandarbhas, in that there is a Bhakti Sandarbha. So this Bhakti Sandarbha is actually a prologue to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Bhakti Rasamrita is written by Jiva Goswami to establish that the abhideya in the Bhagavatam is bhakti. He established that bhakti is the abhideya mentioned in the Bhagavatam, because there are so many people, scholars, who after reading Bhagavatam also, they came to a conclusion that jnana, karma or something else is the process. Now, to establish that abhideya, the process mentioned in Bhagavatam is bhakti, Jiva Goswami wrote the Bhakti Sandarbha. But that is not enough. That is why he wrote a separate book. Now, question may arise, after writing Bhakti Sandarbha, why he had to write Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu? That question is addressed by the scholars. The question is, why he has to write a separate book? Already Bhakti Sandarbha is there. You want to know about Bhakti, go there. No. In the Bhakti Sandarbha, Bhakti has been established by analyzing Bhagavatam. Bhakti has been established as the only abhideya in Bhagavatam. But now what exactly it is, that has to be established. That has to be spoken, isn't it? That is why Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu came into picture. So, now there is a Vyanjanavritti here. Something which is directly spoken, people neither will take seriously, nor will be there is a scope of imagination. So Vyanjana Vritti has been used because that is the nature of Bhakti Shastra. This is how the Bhakti Shastra should be presented. Now, this kind of literature, like Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, has never ever been presented before. Because to present Vedanta, which is like logic, rasa, which is still emotion, to harmonize these two, and not to present it, it is only God can do. Isn't it? It's just impossible. You have lot of technology, means techniques of, you know, logic and Vedanta and all this thing. And now, rasa means what? Just emotion, isn't it? One commentator wrote, the very definition of bhakti, which is given by Rupa Goswami, is wrong. Everything is okay, instead of Krishna, you should put Manonu Shilanam. Instead of Krishna Anushilanam, what do you put? Manonushilanam. Mana means what? Mind. So you just do whatever you want for the pleasure of the mind. So just see. So he is a Sahajiya, authority for Sahajiya. Authority for Sahajiya. Whatever comes to your mind, you should do. That is bhakti. And that is what is happening throughout India, isn't it? Whatever comes to their mind, if they do, that is bhakti. So just by changing that word from Krishna to Mana, it becomes so dangerous. Anyhow, so this verse, Vidu, is very interesting. Now, giving a commentary, commentary of Jiva Goswami is known as Durgama Sangamani. If you are not able to follow or if you are not able to get certain points, please raise your hand and ask. Don't mind, yes. Don't ask, we have our whole life, not just 2 days, whatever we possible we will complete. So don't feel that, you know, we are syllabus and we have to target, we have to finish it. That is, you know, Western way of learning things. So, first time when somebody told me to teach Bhakti Shastri, with the book and all, they came, the syllabus, this date and that is, that module, this module, that module, they came with it. I told that if you want me to teach, please don't give me this book. I'll do according to my own. Mano. Mano Shilanam. So, first time when Bhakti Shastri, VT and all started, they divide Bhagavad Gita into two modules. First 9 chapters, second 9 chapters. 2 months for this, 2 months for this, something like that. Then I told which Acharya divided Bhagavad Gita into two parts. It has been 3 parts always, isn't it? So we'll not go by some targets and some, you know, we have to finish it, because it can never finish. How can it finish? Tell me, Bhakti Rasamrita, can it finish or what? It can never finish. So please ask. So now there is Bhakti Sandarbha. Now let us see what Sandarbhas are. The question is, why do you require this book? Everybody answers, na? Suppose you are writing something, doing something, there should be a why behind it. Otherwise, it is like, okay, time pass. No, there should be why. You have already written Bhakti Sandarbha. Why you require this? Now, in the Bhakti Sandarbha, what Jiva Goswami has done? He has analyzed the Bhagavatam. Very critical analysis. Critical analysis, he analyzed Bhagavatam and established bhakti is the only abhideya mentioned in Bhagavatam. If you want to follow Bhagavatam, bhakti is the only way. Don't conclude that jnana, karma or something else. So it is an analysis, a book of analysis of Bhagavatam. But now after bhakti has been established, somebody may ask, what is this? That is explained here. Okay, that is why this book has come into picture. Okay, Durgama Sangamani. Durgama means what? Difficult. So Jiva Goswami says, I am writing this book and named this book as Durgama Sangamani because I have only explained the difficult part of the things. Difficult part of the literature has been explained. Otherwise it becomes so voluminous. That is why he said that if you want to know Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, you can only understand it by reading this. Durgama Sangamani. Otherwise, it is very Durgama. It is not easy literature as Bhagavad Gita. It is not even as easy literature as Srimad Bhagavatam, I'm telling you. That is why it is called Durgama Sangamini. It is very Durgama because the way Rujiva Goswami has presented this book, Rupa Goswami has presented this book, we cannot understand it without Jiva Goswami's commentary. Impossible. It is impossible. Next to impossible. It is very, very technical. Very, very technical. That is why he has mentioned this word, Durgama. Very difficult. There is a very difficult thing, I have explained it. So, as much as if you want to see Madhva's commentaries, you have to go to Draijayatirtha. So, it is by nature, Samadhu Acharyas, they write certain things, certain books, only for a particular person to give a commentary onto it. So, when Jiva Goswami wrote Bhakti Samrita Sindhu, at that time only, he very well knew that Jiva is going to give a commentary and people are going to understand it through his commentary only. Okay? So, that is why we have to be very careful. That is why this is known as Durgama Sangamani. Now, Sri Radha Damodarao Chayate, who is worshipping? Damodar is worshipping deity of Jiva Goswami, isn't it? He says, he pays obeisances to his spiritual master. Who is spiritual master? Rupa Goswami. That is why he says, Sanatana Samo Yasya Jayan, Sriman Sanatanaha, Sri Vallabho Nujosu, Sri Rupa Jiva Sadgatihi. Sadgati. For Jiva, Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami is a Sadgati. He is the only destination. And who is that Rupa Goswami? Sanatana Samo Yasya Jayan, Sriman Sanatanaha. Sriman Sanatanaha. Sanatana's brother is Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami considered Sanatana Goswami to be his spiritual master. So that is why he considers that I should pay obeisances to Sanatana Goswami also. That is why he says, Sanatana Samo Yasya Jayan, Jayayan. So let there be glories to Sanatana Goswami also. And also Sri Vallabha. Who is Sri Vallabha? His father. His father, isn't it? So he pays obeisances to all the three. Vallabha Anuja, na? Anuja means younger brother. Vallabha is the Anuja of Rupa Goswami. And Jiva Goswami's father is Vallabha. Jiva Goswami's father is Vallabha. Vallabha or Anupam, both same. Okay. And all the other three are brothers only. So he has mentioned their brother relationship. I just mentioned that Jiva Goswami's father. Sometimes something has been spoken which is not there. So that you get confused and you'll ask something. Well, you say, Anuja, you told father, then you think about it, otherwise you don't think. It is some technique, that's all. So, in this way, he pays obeisances to all the three, that is Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and his father, that is Sri Vallabha. Now, when you are mentioning something, you have to see, he is giving his commentary, isn't it? Who is giving his commentary? So he says, why Rupa Goswami wrote this thing? For whom did he write it? Because whenever you write a book, you should have an audience in mind and write. Not just write something and then distribute. Srila Prabhupada said, book distribution means like you have to distribute Bhagavad Gita, you know, small books and all. It is not that you go and distribute hundreds and hundreds of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu marathon and you put it in the bus stand and distribute it. Even in Prabhupada, in his commentary, he says that this is meant for practicing devotees. So that is what is the first point here. you have studied Prabhupada's this commentary. That is why I am just taking certain points from there and then putting it here. So that. So you have, for whom sakala bhagavata loka hita bilasha paravashyataha prakashitaihi Prakash Te means I have, Rupa Goswami has written this book, Prakash, Granth Prakash, he has done. Prakash Te. Now, for whose sake he has done? He has done Sakala Bhagavata Loka. Sakala Bhagavata means for all the devotees. Sakala Bhagavatas. Bhagavata. Hita Vilashi, to benefit them. Avilashi means what? A great desire to benefit them. And just see the word used here. Jiva Goswami, how he says, Paravashat Hita. Means to benefit, to a great desire has conquered him. The great desire to benefit whom? The devotees. That desire has conquered his heart, been conquered with his heart. He wrote this book. So just see. And if you, even if you want to translate in English, very difficult. Being conquered by the desire to benefit his devotees doesn't come out properly. So anyhow, so this is the whole mode. That is why whenever we do some activity, a preaching activity, writing books or giving class, it is should be solely for the benefit of people. Solely for the benefit of the people. Benefit of whomever you are doing for. You may select an audience, you should do that for their benefit. While doing their benefit, your benefit is automatically there. Our benefit is in others' benefit, that is dharma. In doing others' benefit, my benefit is automatically there. So in Mangala Acharan, this is a very important subject. That is, you always meditate on doing how to benefit the people in front of you. And it is not that you are benefiting them, thinking that my benefit is only in benefiting them. It is not only half, thinking that, okay, it is there for their benefit. I don't require it. It's just for their benefit I am doing. Not like that. Actually, I want to be benefited. How will I be benefited when I am? Hitabhilashi. Now, how did he do that? How did Rupa Goswami write it? He says, Sura Swahrudaya Divya Kamala Kosha Vilasi Vihi Srimad Bhagavata Rasair. Now what happened is, Bhagavata Rasa, the Rasa in the Bhagavatam manifested in the lotus heart of Rupa Goswami. Srimad Bhagavata Rasair Vilasi Vihi. Vilasi means it has manifested and Rupa Goswami is enjoying the Bhagavata Rasa. It has manifested, Bhagavata Rasa manifested in the heart of Rupa Goswami and is enjoying the Bhagavata Rasa in his heart. The heart has been described as a Swahrudaya Divya Kamala Kosha. Hrudaya means actually Kamala, lotus. Flower, when we say Patram Pushpam Phalam Tuyam, the actual meaning of flower, Patram Pushpam is heart, not some flower. It's actually heart. Pushpam means heart. Phalam means karma phala. So here, whenever heart, in rasa scriptures, heart is compared to flower, isn't it? Sometimes you must have seen old kind movies, no? Lot of rasa used to, that is mundane rasa, of course. Suppose somebody felt bad or some hero has left the heroine or heroine left the hero, they show a flower wrinkling. I don't know, it is some 60s and 70s, some South Indian movies you take. They are very metaphorical. It's very. We are not in touch with them. That is why we are so, our brain has become so blunt. it's where, suppose something bad happens, they'll show something. Suppose somebody dies, they'll not show a person dying and all. There'll be a lamp and that will go off. See, at that time, the audience and director, they had some subtle sense. Now it is like gross. For them to show some love means they have to wrestle with each other. Then only it is like love, isn't it? Earlier it is like, she looks, he doesn't look, you know. he looks and she doesn't look. That is love. So, that is actually rasa. That is mundane rasa, of course, but the point is, it was so subtle, wasn't it? Anyhow, so that is why this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is technical, like Vedanta, at the same time, a lot of rasa is there. So that is why commentary is also in the same way. But if you study Vedanta Sutras, you don't find these kind of commentaries also. You'll find very critical, calling spade and that kind of thing. But here it is not so. Very first verse itself, Vidu, just see, Krishna's name is not there. But Vedanta says, this is what it is, this is what it is. He is wrong, he is right. It is very harsh. But now you have to use that harsh and present something which is the highest of the emotion, transcendent emotion. That is why it is Durgama. So let us go further. Now, connection, this can be a very interesting question for you and interesting question for USA. I have not made any questions and all. You can, some of you are scholarly can make it. Connection between Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Bhagavatam. Connection between Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada touches the subject matter. In the beginning, he touches the subject matter. So here is the, it comes. When Bhagavata Rasa was drunk by Rupa Goswami, and that Rasa is Vilasibhi, he is enjoying that Rasa. While enjoying this Rasa, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu came out. So that is actually the intended meaning behind it. Now, how this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is very glorious. How it is glorious? Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Nam Nam Grantam Apurva Rachanam. I have spoken already about this thing. Apurva Rachanam means what? Never. Extraordinary. That is what English, but Apurva. Apurva means before. Apurva means never written before. Apurva Vachanam. Apurva Vaibhavam. Apurva Rachanam. Means never has been done, such a literature has never come into existence. Never been. Like we say, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given something which has never been spoken. Isn't it? Anarpita charim chirat karunaya. Similarly, this also, such a scripture has never ever manifested. Never ever manifested. Even Vedas cannot be compared to this book. It's truth. That is a speciality. Now, Viduhu, in a literary sense, according to a science of poetry, as soon as you hear the word Vidu, you go to any website, child's name, type Vidu, it comes meaning moon. Vidu means moon. Vidu means moon, as simple as that. But here Vidu means Krishna. That is what is established. Sri Krishna Jayati Sarvotkarshena. So Vidu means Krishna. Who is that Krishna? All glorious Jayati. Sarvotkarshena, he is the topmost. And now this is established in the next few sentences. How Vidu refers to Krishna? Isn't it? In the first verse of Bhagavatam. First verse of Bhagavatam. Krishna's name is there. And how will you establish this talking about Krishna then? That is the invocation thing. That is not part of the words. You can chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya before eating also. Before having prasad, you say Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Isn't it? Yeah. But Janmadhyasita. It starts Janmadhyasita. Like when people, somebody, you know, they do some puja, they say Sri Ganesha and Amma and say, na? It is like that Vyasa wrote Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya and then goes further. How to establish that the first verse, there is no Krishna's name there. How do you establish? That is the Vedanta, that is how the Vedanta presents. Because Bhagavatam is explanation to Vedanta Sutras, isn't it? And you cannot say it is Vyanjana Vritti there. No, because it is not a Rasa Shastra. Bhagavatam contains Rasa. Bhagavatam is Vedanta Shastra. Okay. For that, Vedanta means what? Connecting something here, something there, and make a something out of it, and bring out something out of it, isn't it? For that, you need to know last verse of Bhagavatam. What is the last verse of Bhagavatam? Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Pranamo Yasya Dukkashamanam Pranamami. What is the last two words of first verse? Satyam Param. Last two words of Bhagavatam? Hariparam. So who is that Satya? That is Vedanta. Isn't it? You came that time, this thing here. So you basically, you are talking something here. That is how it is. What we can do about it? Bhagavatam is a natural commentary in Vedanta Sutra, no? So though Bhagavatam is actually rasa, Bhagavat rasa, but it is not presented in the Veda, in the way rasa or the poetic science is presented. But this is like that. That is why the word vidhu has to be understood, how it has to be established as Krishna. Let us see how it is Krishna. Now vidhu, yadapi vidhu shrivatsalanchanam iti samanya bhagavat, samanya bhagavata. Now vidhu word comes in the dictionary. In the Vedic dictionary, vidhu is been described as Vishnu. Because Srivatsa lanchanaha iti. Vishnu has Srivatsa. So generally people know vidhu as Vishnu. Now we are going to establish not only vidhu is Vishnu, we are going to establish vidhu is Krishna. How is it? Let's see. Vidhu has got two meanings. One is known as vidhunoti iti viduhu. Vishesha rupena dhunoti. Dhunoti means what? Wash, cleaning. So now this vidhunoti, vishesha rupena dhunoti, has got two meanings. Khandayati sarvadukham. Do you require any PhD in Sanskrit for understanding this? Destroy. All? Look. Simple, isn't it? Not much. He has used a, because why I am telling the Sanskrit is very simple, because it is poetics. It's not. But any other literature, any other commentaries by Acharyas or any other book, it's not so easy to understand. You need to know Sanskrit for this. Without knowing Sanskrit also, you can read this commentary. Now, next, other meaning is what? Atikrama. Krameti sarvam. What is the meaning of it? Surpasses. Atikrama means surpass. Surpasses everything. Surpass everything. So dhunoti has got two things. One is what? Destroying all misery. Number two is surpassing everything. Surpassing all, surpassing everyone, the topmost, like that. Now vidhu, vidhu, vishesha rupena, dhu refers also to dadati. Da, dhatu, refers to dadati. Dunoti, both, dadati. Dadati means what? Give. What does it give? What does he give? Karoti sarva sukham. Karoti sarva sukham. Means what? Gives all happiness. Fourth one is sarvam chaiti, means whatever you find in this world or anywhere is coming from him only. He has given by him only. Sarvam cheti, chaiti. Chaiti means, iti means whatever you see, whatever you think about, everything was given by him only. Dadati sarvam iti. Sarvam iti means whatever you may think, whatever come to mind, everything is coming from him only, is given by him only. So, what are the four meanings of vidhu? Destroying all suffering, surpassing everyone, giving all happiness, everything comes from him. Four, clear? Very, very, quite simple. these four. Now, to establish that these four are actually referring to Krishna, there are some quotations given from Bhagavatam. So the numbers are there. If you can project it, that will be nice. If you have those numbers. You see, for the first one, that is 1939, that is a verse by Bhishma. That verse, you can just read that verse. Chant and read the translation at least. One advantage of studying scriptures in this way is, it's a little bit of hard work. But when you put some hard work like this, whenever you go and present your classes anywhere, it will come out the way it should come out. So that is the important exercise, hard work we should do. Like when you learn mridanga, isn't it what happens? First time, something you are playing, tap, 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 you are not able to make any sense out of it. But if you don't go through that particular exercise, for 6 months, 1 year, you will not be able to play properly. Without going through the exercise also, you can play, but it will not be the way it should be, isn't it? Okay, you see somebody playing, to play it. The same way, philosophy also is like that. These things, what we are doing now at present, the way we are doing, is a little bit of torture, but it's a good torture. Whenever you speak, for example, okay, in this verse, five things are spoken, maybe four things are there. You can say six things also. You have aims of Bhakti Shastri course. 13 aims? How many aims? 12 aims. Then I asked, why not 14? Oh, it can be. It can be. Isn't it? But when we study like that, we don't arrive into 12 aims, 12 aims, 10 aims, 10 aims, 4 aims, like that, isn't it? Huh? How many themes are there in Bhagavad Gita? How many themes are there? You open your Bhakti Shastri syllabus. In Bhagavad Gita book is there, na? I don't know what you are following. If you VAHE or SEMAHE, if you take, how many? 16. Why not 18? That's what we could reach up to. You can do 18 also. But when Baladeva Vidyabhushan Prabhu has told, there are 9 Navaprameyas, 9 objects to be known in Bhagavad Gita. In all the scriptures, 9 things are to be known. So then is absolute, isn't it? So that is why we need to be a little bit careful when you are presenting these things. Okay, got this verse? Read that verse. Chant this verse together. Nicely.
विजयरथकुटुम्बाटतोत्रे दृढहयसुन्नीतशीर्षिणीये भगवतिरतिरस्तु मे मुनोर्षोर्यमिह निरीक्षहतगदास्वरूपम्
जस्ट रीड द ट्रांसलेशन बिकॉज इफ आई एक्सप्लेन दिस वर्स इट विल टेक लॉन्ग टाइम भीष्म स्पोक दिस वर्स
एट द मोमेंट ऑफ डेथ लेट माय अल्टीमेट अट्रैक्शन बी टू श्री कृष्ण द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड I concentrate my mind upon the chariot driver of Arjuna, who stood with a whip in his right hand and a bridle rope in his left, who was very careful to give protection to Arjuna's chariot by all means. Those who saw him on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained their original forms after death.
Now tell me, what it has got to do with Khandai the Sarvadukhanam? What this verse has got to do with Khandai the Sarvadukhana? Okay, where is Bhishma sleeping? So, and what is he? He is experiencing transcendent pleasure. He has forgotten the pain of the arrows. Khandai the Sarvadukhana. Can there be any pain when you are leaving the body? More pain than leaving the body. More pain at the time of death, you are sleeping on the bed of arrows. You lost the war. In that situation also, we find Bhishma is glorifying the Lord. He says, seeing the form of the Lord is so beautiful. Later on, we'll come to this point, how the beauty of the form of the Lord He is the cause of all these four things. Anyway, next. Go to the next verse. 3, 2, 1. He transcends everyone. Chant.
Swayam to asamyatishyas trayadisha swaraja lakshmi apta samasta kamaha balim harat shiraloka palai kirita koti tapadapitha. Lord Sri Krishna is the Lord of all kinds of threes and is independently supreme by achievement of all kinds of fortune. He is worshipped by the eternal maintainers of the creation, who offer him the paraphernalia of worship by touching their millions of helmets to his feet.
You know very well this Brahma, he came to meet Krishna in Dwarka, the story is there, where all the helmets are banging down, and then this Brahma is seeing, thousand-headed Brahma is coming, and Shiva also came, all this thing, that story. And this Trayadishaha, this verse has been given a big commentary between Karmadesha Murin Chaitanya and Sanatana Goswami. So he is a Traya. Whatever three you can think of, he is Lord of it. Three modes of nature, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, three worlds, Golok, Vrindavan, Dwaraka, you can think of any three. So many threes are there, isn't it? Three modes are there. What all? Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, so many things are there. Upper, lower, middle, planetary system. So many, any three you can think of is the Lord of it. So next. Karoti sarvasukam. Karoti sarvasukam. You can take one example. That is 9, 24, 65. That's what one example is enough. Somebody chant.
Yasyananam makara kundala charu karna Braja kapola shukam savilasa hasam nityo savam natatu shibhiti vartyo naryo narascha mudita kupita nimesha. Krishna's face is decorated with ornaments such as earrings resembling sharks. His ears are beautiful, his cheeks brilliant, and his smiling attractive to everyone. Whoever sees Lord Krishna sees a festival. His face and body are fully satisfying for everyone to see, but the devotees are angry at the creator for the disturbance caused by the momentary blinking of their eyes.
So, this is a very famous verse, you know, how the gopis, they are becoming angry because Krishna's beauty, the sukha, the enjoyment which they come from seeing Krishna's beauty is so much that they don't want to wink their eyes. Very famous, the fourth one, that is Sarvam Cheti, one who gives everything, even the Lord's other forms also come from him. Cheti Echa Kalatam Sam Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam Indriyar Vyakulam Lokam Rudyanti Yuge Yuge. Okay? So this Vidu has been explained in this four ways. Now after, Vidu means Krishna. Now Vidu means, the meaning of the word has been described like this. Now Vidu means Krishna, how? The four points are there for that. Let us see what are they. Asuranam avimukti pradatvena. And these four points are exclusive of the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. So, meaning of the word Vidu has been established. But now, how Krishna fits into that meaning? Not only just Krishna, only Krishna will fit into that meaning, nobody else. This word Vidu, it can be only used to Krishna and nobody else. How is it? Because Asuranam api mukti pratatvena means what? No incarnation can do that. Ram came, killed Ravan. Did Ravan get liberated? Only when Krishna personally kills them, they will not be liberated. So, Vidu can only be applied to Krishna because nobody can liberate a demon. Only Krishna can do that. Ram can liberate Vibhishan, Ram can liberate so many people. But only Krishna can do that. Next one. sarvatvena sarva sarva vaibhavatikranta. Sarva vaibhavatikranta means what? Atikranta. He has transcended. No. They will take birth again. Yes. This is one of the exclusive points of Gaudi Vaishnava philosophy. Among all the four Vaishnava philosophies, certain points are exclusively professed by Gaudiyas. One of the things is this. Other Vaishnava sampradayas, they don't talk about this thing. Neither accept this thing. Huh? Yeah, you take any demon who are liberated by that other incarnations. He did not kill anyone. Vamana, did he kill anyone? Again. But again. No. This is one speciality, is Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. Huh? It's Chaitanya, it's Krishna, you know. No incarnation can deliver any demon. It's only Krishna was. Moment Krishna comes and does, then only delivers. Maybe he will become a devotee, he can take birth. Going back home, back to Godhead is not possible by anybody. No other incarnation can send a demon by killing them back to Godhead. It is only Krishna. So that is a speciality. That is a speciality. What you can do about it? It is there.
Maricha
was not killed. He just went.
The second time, like when he was given option of getting killed by Ravana.
No, he has to take birth. No. Ramayana may talk like that, but it is not possible. He may go to heavenly planets and then go somewhere, all these things. But it is only through the hands of Krishna. Demons. Maricha, of course, there is a story behind it. Maricha, don't talk about Maricha now because Ramayana will start. Maricha and Subhava, both of them came. Ram killed one, did not kill other. Why? Both demons came to fight, you should kill both of them. Na? That's also a subject of Bhakti Rasa in one sense, because Maricha and Rubhavu, they are one is Prarabdha Karma, other is Aprarabdha Karma. It's only Krishna who, Krishna Prema, which can destroy the prarabdha karma. Even by any amount of any kind, prarabdhas cannot destroy it. Karma mishra bhakti cannot destroy prarabdha. Maricha could not be killed. Okay. Next.
In Nectar of Devotion, only further chapters.
Yeah.
Some actually gives the quality, speciality of Krishna, in that the extra qualities of Krishna. Then this is properly mentioned. He has proofs also from Bhagavatam.
Yes.
Because proofs this how only Krishna can liberate.
Yeah. Nectar of
Devotion only in further chapters.
Further chapters it will come.
Yeah. Qualities of Krishna.
Yeah. So now, he surpasses everyone in all his aspects. Atikranta, Vaibhava Atikranta Sarvatvena. Even his Vaibhava, in his excellence, he surpasses everyone. He surpasses even Narayana, because he's got the four special qualities that just never mentioned. That is the second part of it, actually. Now, the third one is Parama Apurva Surupena Mahasukha Prayatna Sukha Vistarakatvena. So, what is God? Apurva Surupena. He's got such a great beauty. And just by looking at beauty, it gives paramasukatvena, it gives so much of happiness. And swayam bhagavatatvena, swayam bhagavatitvena, chatasyaiva prasiddhyet. What has been spoken in the previous four things has been presented in a different way, saying that only Krishna can do these things. Swayam bhagavatitvena, swayam bhagavan, Krishna swayam bhagavan is their fourth one. Okay? Now Vidu means Krishna has been established. Now Vidu also means, as I told, what? Moon, isn't it? How Vidu can be called moon? Moon also has these things, but on the material platform. How? It destroys misery. How does it destroy misery, moon? Whole day hot sun, night comes. Isn't it? And it's very beautiful. And he surpasses all the stars. Isn't it? So now, after talking about Vidu, now Jayati has been described. Let us see what is the meaning of Jayati. The word Jayati has confirmed what has been described above. Vidura Jayati. So how is it being confirmed? Let us see the verse. Beautiful verse. 10:90:48. Most of you know this verse. Jayati Jananivaso Devaki Janmavado. Vaso Devaki Janmavado Yeduvara Parishat Swair Dorbirasam Nadarmam Stirachara Vrijinagana Smita Shri Mukhena Vrajapura Vanitanam Vardhanam Kamadevam. So, in this way, everywhere Jayati, Jayati, Janinvas. Read the translation.
Lord Shri Krishna is he who is known as Jananivasa, the ultimate resort of all living entities, and who is also known as Devaki Nandana or Yashoda Nandana, the son of Devaki and Yashoda. He is the guide of the Yadu dynasty, and with his mighty arms he kills everything inauspicious as well as every man who is impious. By his presence he destroys all things inauspicious for all living entities, moving and inert. His blissful smiling face always increases the lusty desires of the gopis of Vrindavan. May he be all glorious and happy.
So Jayati, this word Jayati confirms what has been previously described about Vidu. Next, let us go see that Etat Sarvam Jayatyartena Spashti Kritam. We can only use the word confirmed or something like that. But hope most of you know, Spashti Kritam is not a very difficult word. Spashti Kritam. Sarvotkarshena Vritti Nama Tadetat. Tad Eveti. That shows that how Krishna is Sarvotkarshena. Sarvotkarsha means at the topmost. Next. Now here Jayati is used in present tense. Why is it used in present tense? Jayati means present tense. It has been used in present tense to clarify that even now Krishna can be realized. Not that when he appeared, he won, then only people could realize him. Now some people may say, Krishna when came and went away, no, now how can you realize him? Now the word Vidu should mean something else. Not Krishna, no. Even now Krishna can be realized. Ateva prakrita samaya matra drishtya prakatya samaya matra drishtya ya. Somebody may say, that prakatya samaya matra, only at the time of his appearance, we can see him. Lokasya pratiti. Somebody may say, in the loka, same in. Tasya nirakshayoyam. What happened? Vartamana prayoga. Vartamana prayoga means what? The present tense has been used to. Okay. Next. Now, Krishna has been, Vidu means Krishna. Now if Vidu is Krishna, now who is that Krishna in this verse? How is Krishna described? As first, Akila. If anybody asks you, who is Krishna? As a Gaudiya, what you should tell? That's all. Akila, Rasamrita Murti. God and all, that is for the Bhagavad Gita course and all. But even though you are telling him God, but present him in this way, Akila, that is his identity. And why is he Akila Rasamrita Murthy? Because Akila Rasa Pakshamana Shantadaya Dwadasha. Dwadasha means what? 12. Starting with what? Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya, Virya, Adbhuta, all these things are there, you know very well. 7 plus 5. So like that, Dvadasha. Dvadasha means 12. Lokasya patitastasya nirakuto. Dvadasha esmin tadrisham amritam paramananda eva murtihi yasya saha. Saha means that person, that Krishna. Who is he? He has got 12 rasas. He is a personification of the 12 rasas. And now, paramanandam. It gives lot of bliss. That is why it is known as amritam. Akila rasamrita murti. So that is how Krishna has been introduced by Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And that is how we should understand Krishna as. Krishna is what? Akila rasamrita murti. Bhagavan, Brahman, Creator, all is Vedanta. But the same thing when it comes to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the same Krishna has been presented as what? Akila Rasamrita Murtihi. Always remember this thing. If at all you have to introduce Krishna, even though you may say he is Bhagavan, but keep in mind, what is it? You may say that he is the creator of the world, he is Paramatma, you may say he is Ram, you may say so many things. They are all true only. But ultimately, what is our understanding of Krishna? It is the personification of bliss, personification of rasa. You put all the emotions. I'm just using the word emotion. That is what you use in English. All the emotions. And put it at one place. That is Krishna. Put all the emotions in the world. And give a form to it. That is Krishna. That is why all the living entities are part and parcel of Krishna. Aham, mameivamsho, why? Why this verse is spoken? It is only in Krishna that every living entity can relate to. Suppose, for example, one living entity is there, he wants a particular rasa. That should be found in Krishna. That should be found in Krishna. That is why is Krishna. That is why Akila Samrata Murti. And every living entity has a special rasa with Krishna. No two living entities are the same rasa. So every devotee is special. Every devotee is special. When the Bhakti Shakti manifests in the consciousness of a devotee and flows to the mind senses. Because every devotee has a special rasa to Krishna. Every devotee, Krishna reciprocates in a unique way. So don't make anything stereotype. Don't make anything stereotype. Because Krishna is not stereotype. One type, only this way only. Everybody is special in the eyes of Krishna. And there is a special way of seeing Krishna by every devotee. That is why Akila Rasamrita Murti. Maximum to maximum, the Vedanta goes to saying that Rasova is ha. Maximum to maximum. Rasova is ha. That's what it can talk about. But here is Akira Samrita Murti, Rasaboy. Next, among all the rasas, the topmost is what? Madhuri Rasa. Now, there are certain quotations given, but we'll just see one quotation from 10:44-14. Explaining topmost is Madhurya. 10:44-14.
गोप्यस्तदकिमचरण्यदनुस्यरूपं लावण्यसारमसमोद्धमनन्यतीर्थं दृग्भिः पिबन्ति अनुसवाभिनिमं द्विरूपं एकान्तधाम यशसा श्रिया ईश्वरस्य.
Nobody is equal to him, nobody is greater than him. These gopis. Ekanta dhama yashasa shriya aishwarasya. What these gopis have done in the past? That means the exclamation. Nobody would understand what fortune these gopis are having. Isn't it? So, this shows that Madhuri is the topmost, that all you know very well. That is why I am just skipping certain parts. Now, that is the reason Akila Rasamrita Murthy. And what are the other characteristics given about Krishna in this verse? What does he do? Rasmara Ruchira Ruddha Taraka Pali. Taraka and Pali, there are two gopis with whom what Krishna does? He conquers them by his effulgence coming from his body, by his power. He subjugates them. Number two. Kalita Shama Lalito. He embraces Shama and Lalita. Kalita Shama Lalito. Kalita means he embraces. Embraces whom? Shama and Lalita. Make friendship. He considers them to be equal. First two gopis were subordinate to him. That is why he is able to conquer them, subjugate them. And he extends friendship with whom? Shama and Lalita. But with respect to Radharani, Radha Priyan, he tries to please Radharani. So why Madhurya Bhaktas are only, because he is the topmost, we will just mention. So even in the Madhurya Bhaktas, he has the three distinct categories. We will not go to who is Dalita, who is Taraka Pali, a lot of description is given. But we don't want to go into it because that you will get more information in other books rather than some Puranas and all give about these things. But we just talk about with some gopis, he subjugates. How is it described here? Prashmabihi, Shilabihi, Ruchibihi, Kantibir, from his Kanti, the rays coming out of his body, from the Ruchi, which he also comes from his power. Ruddhe Vashikrite. Vashikrite means what? Enchant. Vashi. Bring under control. Pali. Saha. Saha means Krishna. What does he do? Vashikrite. He brings these two. Who are those gopis? Taraka and Pali. And Athanam. Madhyamam. Second kind of people. Who are they? Mukhyamabhyamaha. Kalitatma Satkrite. Shama, Shamala, Lalita, Cha, Yena Saha. What did he do? Kalita, Atma Sat Krite. Kalita means embraces. And Atma Sat. Atma Sat means he considered to be equal. Oh, we are equal. We are Atma Sat Krite. With Shama, Shamala, Lalita, and he does with that. And Parama Mukhyataya, Mukhyaya, Aha. Radhaya Priyan Atishayena Preeti Karta. Atishayena Preeti Karta. Not just Preeti Karta, not just love. Atishayena. When you love somebody so much, how do you say a person loves you so much? Even if you neglect him, still he comes for you. So that is what is indicated here. Atishayena, what is the meaning of Atishayena here? It refers to, even though Radharani neglects him, he says, get out. But Sili comes. Oh, please, please. Jai Goswami's Gita Govinda is the proof for it. She says, get lost. You tell him to get lost. And she personally does the get lost. But he does all kinds of things somehow to please her. Somehow I should please her. So, these are the key. That is how Krishna has been introduced. Just see. You may say, oh, Prabhuji, you just did one verse. But the point is, this is how Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu starts, and this is how Krishna is introduced. As a Gaudiya, we should know who is Krishna, isn't it? The Gaudiya we are looking at Krishna is this. Okay? So, what is our schedule now? We'll stop here now. And 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock we'll 3 to 4:30. Okay, so 3 o'clock means you have how much time now? 1 hour, 1 hour, 1 hour, 1 and a half hour you have. Okay, 1 and a half hour is quite good, good break. So we'll try to go faster since now you got into, you got into the mood now. We'll try to go faster. Shri Rupa Goswami Pad ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.